Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. How do we come to the throne of grace? We come boldly. We don't come shyly, timidly. We don't come afraid. We come with some guts. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Let me ask you a question. Are you bold? I'm not asking, are you proud? Hopefully you are not. You cannot be proud and truly bold at the same time. I'm not saying, are you cocky? You cannot think you're all that and a bag of chips and be bold at the same time. I'm not saying, are you confident? I'm asking, are you bold? None of those things defines boldness, but God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Are you bold? And some people would say, yes, honestly, I am bold. And some people, if they are honest, they would say, no, I'm not bold. Now, in Ephesians 3:12, in Christ we have boldness. In Christ we have boldness. And we have access with confidence through faith in Him. And so we have boldness because we're in Christ. We are to be bold. We are not to be afraid. We are to be bold. Fear is our enemy. Fear is also the fruit of the enemy attacking our life. We are to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We are not to have fear. Now, boldness is the word parousia in the original language. And it means free and fearless confidence. Do you have fearless confidence? And it's also cheerful courage, not just courage. Cheerful courage. Courage that contains joy, and as a matter of fact, that joy becomes part of that courage, and the joy comes because we're in the presence of God. Do you have this? It also means to be free from the bondage of fear. Do you have this? Are you bold? Or is there some area of your life where you're not all that fearless in your confidence? Is there some area of your life, though you may enter a situation, you enter it with an element of fear and not cheerfully? Are you in bondage to some area of fear? Or are you bold? God says He wants us to be bold. And when we come to Him, when we come to the throne of grace, He wants us to come with boldness. In fact, because we handle everything in grace, God wants us to be bold in every situation. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, the Spirit that God gives us is the Holy Spirit. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit enters into us, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That means we are kept by Him. He makes His home in us. He does not abandon us. He will stay with us for eternity. He will seal us, and He'll keep us until we go home to be with the Lord. Now, there is another Spirit. Some people have a spirit of fear. When I say spirit of fear, often we think of things like an attitude of fear. But the truth is that a fear comes from an unclean spirit. Not that my attitude is unclean, But there is a demon. An unclean spirit is a demon. There is a demon that brings fear. We all have an enemy. And he seeks who he can devour. In other words, he seeks whose life he can consume with himself. Whose life he can destroy. He seeks people that he can bring under his influence. Even Christians can come under his influence. You cannot be possessed by him if you're a Christian, but you can be influenced by him. He did not give us a demon of fear. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power, and a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. So we don't have any reason, we don't have any need by which we need to fear. Because we have this Holy Spirit in us, he's living inside of us, and he is controlling everything around us. He is God. Who is the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we think of God as three persons because we understand from the Word of God that there are three persons to God. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of them are God. Fully God. There are certain groups that don't believe this. They believe in God. They believe in the Son of God. They don't believe that the Son of God is God, and they don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. But they are mistaken. The Holy Spirit very clearly is God, the Son of God very clearly is God, and the Father very clearly is God. And there is only one God, there are not three gods. How does this work? Real quick, for those who may not know. Imagine if you have a man who is a doctor, a husband, and a father. If you go to him as a doctor, then your experience with him will be very different than that of his wife or his children. You are going to him as a doctor, and you will know that man as doctor. You will not know that man as husband. You will not know that man as dad. You will know him as doctor. On the other hand, let's say that you're married to this man. Then you will know him as husband. Your experience with him will not be doctor, and it's not going to be dad. It's going to be husband. Or maybe you're his child, in which case your experience will be with him as dad. It will not be as doctor or husband. This is what the Holy Spirit is like. It's still the same man. Sometimes that man is experienced as a doctor, sometimes he is experienced as a husband, and sometimes he's experienced as a father. But it's the same man. It's simply three expressions of one person. Likewise with God. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at the same time. There are three expressions of one person. It's not that there are three gods. There is one God with three expressions. That's what it means. And so, we are given the Spirit of God. That means that he that is fully God in all ways seals you and dwells you, lives inside of you, and takes care of you. In John 16:13, he is the Spirit of truth. Being the Spirit of truth in John 17:17 also means he is the Spirit of the Word of God. And he will guide you in all truth. So if I have the Holy Spirit, I'm not being guided in natural thinking, the way that the world thinks, or the way that people who don't know God think. I'm not being guided in anything other than the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the mind of God for everything that comes into our lives and everything that exists. It's the mind of God for every situation. So, We have the Holy Spirit. He guides us in all truth for every situation, and He is the source of our boldness. Consider something. You have God living inside of you. How are you going to go wrong? What mistake is a problem? What is going to happen in your life that is somehow going to damage you? You have God living inside of you. The problem that we have is that even though God is living inside of us, we don't use what we have. My wife has a good saying, the Holy Spirit is the most underused resource that exists. She's absolutely right. The Holy Spirit is the most underused resource that exists. People get into situations and they try to figure it out themselves. People have problems, challenges come into their life, and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this. Let me get away from this. Let me try to manipulate it. Let me try to control it. Completely wrong response. You're not using the Holy Spirit if you're doing that. If you are in a situation and it is beyond you, it's more than you can handle, well, James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, because He gives wisdom to everyone liberally, freely, in abundance. He's generous with wisdom. Now, we think of wisdom as this big, high, mighty thing. No, wisdom is everything in thinking correctly. Wisdom is our answers. Wisdom is knowledge that we need. Wisdom is understanding that we need. It's insight that we need. Whatever we need to think correctly, that's wisdom. And so God will give us wisdom. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I was called to be on a jury. There was a lawsuit, a court case, where a man crashed his car into another car. The person in the car who got hit was suing this man who crashed his car into her car. The problem is that she caused the accident, but she was suing him. I was selected for this jury, and at first I didn't know what was going on, and when you're on a jury, you're wondering to yourself, who do I believe? So I asked God, because I didn't have the answers that I needed in order to be able to think about this situation in truth, as it actually was. I didn't know. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, and God spoke very clearly to my heart, not out loud, I want to emphasize, not out loud, you just know, that's how it usually comes out. And He said to me, she's trying to skin him. Which for those of you who may not know what that means, she's trying to take advantage of him to get as much money out of him as possible. So He said, she's trying to skin him. I was very surprised by that. But as I listened to the trial, and as the two sides presented their case and their evidence, I realized that is exactly what she was trying to do. If he took her to court, if he was suing her, he would win. But it was the opposite way around. She was suing him. And she was really trying to skin him. The Holy Spirit, if you ask Him, will give you wisdom. Now, I'm not saying that every situation you get into, the Holy Spirit will give you that kind of clarity. I think He gave that kind of clarity because it was a situation involving other people's lives in a very serious way. But at the same time, He gives us answers. At the same time, He gives us knowledge. At the same time, He gives us understanding and insight. If anybody doesn't know, if there's a question in your mind, if you're in a situation and the situation is too much, use the Holy Spirit. He is our provision for our situations. If you are born again, He is living inside of you. It's not like He's far away. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer, in Him, in Christ. For this reason, we also say amen, or so be it, which is what amen means, to God through Him. When the Holy Spirit gives you something, take it as a promise. He speaks to you through the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, the most common way that the Holy Spirit speaks is through church messages. He speaks to the messenger. And so there's a messenger given to each church. The messenger is the pastor teacher. The pastor teacher, if he is a good pastor teacher, will be listening and receiving from the Holy Spirit and giving to the congregation, the people listening, what he hears from the Holy Spirit. This is not strange. It's not unusual. It's not dramatic. Sometimes people try to make the Holy Spirit into this big dramatic theater show. It's not like that at all. He is quiet. He is subtle, but he is powerful. He brings love and He gives a sound mind. So if you don't know, and all of us are there many times, then ask the Holy Spirit. Don't approach a situation in fear. Or even more, don't try to run from a situation in fear. Just ask the Holy Spirit. And He will give you exactly what you need to deal with everything. In Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, and it's not by power, it's by God's Spirit, says the Lord. And so we don't try to manipulate or control things. We turn to the Holy Spirit, and He makes things happen. How do we do that? We pray. In prayer, we have a very powerful tool. The most powerful force that exists, that's given to us, is prayer. Prayer will move the hand of God. In fact, God will not move often until we've asked Him. He says, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you'll receive. So you go into these places, you get into these circumstances, but we go there sometimes without praying. We go there without saying to God, can you fix this? And it doesn't get fixed. Why? We didn't use what God gave us. Instead, we try to deal with it in our own thinking. Sometimes we try to run away from it. Sometimes we try to control it. But we didn't use what God gave us. Always use what God gave you. And the most important thing that He gave you first was the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, we are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, it says there. What's there to be afraid of? What problem is too big? What is it that's giving you such a hard time? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Well, the Word of God says that everything was created by Him. The Word of God says that He made you alive. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The one who has all power enough to simply speak the universe into existence, he lives in you. What is your concern? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Do you see why he is the source of our boldness? He loves you and he lives in you. He doesn't live in you to beat you up. He lives in you to take care of you, to guide you, to provide for you. You have this amazing thing in your life, inside of your physical body. Use it. The Holy Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you in Hebrews 3:15 because he lives in you. You can be confident and you can be content. You can be without a sense of lacking because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Sometimes people get into situations and they say, well, if I could only change my situation, my problem would go away. That's not how it works. Your problem is not your situation. Your problem is that you're not using what God gave you. He is able to speak to you. As a matter of fact, John 10:27 says, my sheep will hear my voice. It's not my sheep might hear my voice. If my sheep are really, really religious, they'll hear my voice. No, he didn't say that. He said, my sheep will absolutely, with no doubt, hear my voice. Now, I have a question for you because people get really weird with that statement. Listen carefully. Take a second and listen carefully. Did you hear what I said? No. You know why? I didn't say anything. Sometimes people will say something to the Holy Spirit, but he's not speaking in the way that they expect. And what happens to people will say, okay, I will hear now from the Holy Spirit. They'll say, Holy Spirit, and whatever it is. And now I will hear. And the first thing that comes into the mind is what they will call the Holy Spirit, but it's not his voice. It's their own thinking. If the Holy Spirit speaks, you will hear him. If the Holy Spirit does not speak, you will not hear him. If the Holy Spirit speaks, you will know it. If the Holy Spirit does not speak and you think you hear him, you will wonder in your mind, was that the Holy Spirit or not? Was that the Holy Spirit or not? No, it was not. My sheep will hear my voice. If there is a question about it, it's not him. He does not speak in a loud voice. Sometimes people want God to speak in a loud voice. He does not speak in a loud voice. He can if he needs to, but he doesn't. Almost never, I'm not going to say never because once in a while there can be an exception, but almost never will he use a loud voice. In 1 Kings 19:12, he has a still small voice. But it's a voice that is very clear, and it's a voice that you will recognize. By the way, he speaks to the heart, he does not speak to the head. Anybody who is accustomed to hearing the voice of God knows this. You do not hear the voice of God in your head. You hear the voice of God in your heart. If you haven't heard his voice in that way before, then you've heard him in the messages. It's not that he hasn't spoken to you, he's simply spoken to you by a different means. What do you mean spoken by a different means? Have you ever communicated by text message, SMS? Have you ever communicated by email? Don't put God in a box. Let him communicate with you in the way that he knows that you will receive what he has to say. Because believe me, he knows what you need to receive what he has to say. But when he does speak, it's a still small voice. If there's a question in your mind, was that him? No, it wasn't. Is there any question right now, at this very moment, who it is that's speaking? No, why? Because you hear the voice. If he speaks, you will hear his voice. If you don't hear his voice, it's because he's not communicating in that fashion. He's communicating differently. He might be sending you a text. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, he's the Father of mercies, and he's the God of all comfort. In your circumstances, he is your comforter. He is not only your guide, he is not only your provision, he is not only your protector, he is also the one who comforts you. If you are wounded in your situation, turn to the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one who has the ability to soothe the wound. He's the only one that has the ability to comfort you. Sometimes we're tempted to look to other people for our comfort, and then we get upset if the comfort doesn't come. The problem is, another person does not have the ability to touch your heart. They can speak to you, they can give you the truth, they can encourage you, but they can't touch your heart. Only the Holy Spirit has the ability to touch your heart. So if I get wounded in a circumstance or hurt in some other way, then I go to the Holy Spirit and he comforts me. He heals the hurt. He makes everything better for us. He's extremely merciful. He's the Father of mercies. That means he'll never be impatient with me. He'll never be harsh with me. He's my guide, he's my provision, yes, but he's also the one who gives me a hug when I need it. He's the one who loves me. He's the one who builds me up. He's the one who takes care of me. He's the one who comforts me. In Micah 4:9, we have a really interesting question, and I think that half of the Christians in the world at any given time should be asked this question. Why do you cry out loud? What a strange question, huh? Why do you cry out loud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your comforter perished? Did the Holy Spirit die? Did God the Father disappear? Is there no God living inside of you? Why are you crying, and what are you crying about? Did the Holy Spirit die? If you think about it, this is exactly what we do when we get upset about our situations. We act like the Holy Spirit has died. We act like suddenly we're alone. We act like suddenly there is no guide, there is no truth, there is no answer. Suddenly, the God who created the universe disappeared from my life. What do you mean he's not there? He's living inside of you. You can't get away from him. When you can fall out of the universe, you can get away from God. And by the way, not even then, come to think of it, because then you will be in eternity and you absolutely belong to him if you're saved. You can never get away from God. Once you're saved, forget it. You will never escape him. And he is not interested in escaping you. Other people maybe, God never. So why do you cry out loud? In Revelation 17:14, he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And those who are with him are called, and they are chosen, and they are faithful. Where is the disconnect? Where is the lack? The King of Kings is living inside of you. The Lord of Lords is living inside of you. What government is bigger than God? What person is bigger than God? What situation is bigger than God? That God is living inside of you. He planned your life before you were even born. He already knows all the details. He put them in place. He gave you everything that you need before it happens. So what are you afraid of? So what is it that's upsetting you? So why do you run? By the way, never run from anything. Never run from anything. Only run to God. Always. Always run to God. When you run to God, in Isaiah 40:31, you will not get weary. But if you try to run away or from something, you will always get weary. The reason is because when you run from something or someone, whatever it is, then you're running from the source of your victory. So you never run anywhere except to God. The reason why people run is because they want to be delivered from circumstances or from people, from situations. But very unusual that God would deliver you from a situation. God delivers you in a situation. Because remember, the situation is a tool that He uses for your life. So He doesn't let you get away from the way that He works on you. And if I try to get away from that, I become very weary because I'm actually running from the place or the circumstance of my provision. You never run. Only run to God, and then you will never get weary. If you're trying to run from, I don't care what it's dealing with, if you try to run from, you'll always get weary. God delivers you in situations. Very unusual for God to deliver you out of situations unless the situation itself is not part of His purpose for your growth. Let me give you an example of that. This is a true story of a soldier who was in Iraq. He was in combat against the enemy, and the enemy was shooting at him. And he could hear the bullets coming right at him. The bullets never hit him. The bullets went around him. He was saved. He was a Christian. But God protected him from the bullets. George Washington had a similar experience. He was in battle and enemy snipers were shooting at him, but they couldn't hit him. And one of the snipers said about George Washington, "God is protecting him. We can't hit him." A similar thing happened a number of years ago in Israel, where God delivered from a situation. The enemy was launching rockets at Israel, and they were hitting nothing. They always missed their target. And a reporter asked one of the generals, "Why are your rockets so bad?" He said, "There's nothing wrong with our rockets. Their God is protecting them." And the general got it right. God was protecting him. If the situation requires God's protection, you will have God's protection. But if God is not protecting you from a situation, then the situation is the tool that God is using to work in your life. Never run from that. You don't have to run either way. God will protect you wherever you are, or he will use your circumstance to build you, and he won't let you run from that. Because the Holy Spirit's inside of you, you are already conquerors in Romans 8:37. You're already victorious in 1 Corinthians 15:57. So you don't run because you don't want to run from your victory. In Hebrews 13:6, we say boldly, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do to me." How many people are afraid of what somebody is going to say or do? Who cares? Honestly, who cares? But it doesn't feel good. Who cares how it feels? Stop responding to the wrong things. Who cares how it feels? Nobody can do anything to you because the Lord is your helper. You don't have to be afraid of them. By the way, nobody can take away from you something you don't give them. It's not even remotely possible. No one can take from you what you don't give them. We're talking about peace. We're talking about confidence. We're talking about a call from God. The things that God has given you, no one can take away from you. Because God is the one who's helping you. In 1 John 4:17, love, which, by the way, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22, has been perfected, matured, completed among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of our trial. Boldness shows that the love of God is mature in you. So if you lack boldness, run to the Word of God, which takes you to the love of God, which brings you into the grace of God. And then you have your provision for everything. There's nothing that the Holy Spirit will withhold from you. What you do is you run to the Word of God so that you can have the love of God and enter the grace of God. And then you can be bold as bold can be. You're meant to be bold. So are you bold? And if you're not bold, then do something about it. Because God has given you everything you need for boldness. Amen? If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, tell Him that you will receive the gift that He's given you, His mercy, and that He has taken your sins away from you. And pray in your heart, "Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live." What is freedom? The liberty to pay the consequence of your actions. Well, that certainly does come with freedom. But what is freedom? Sometimes, and we've seen this many, many times, in a what's called a free society, people are not free. And on the other hand, Richard Wurmbrand, he was a remarkable guy. He really was. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend his book, In God's Underground, it's called. Richard Wurmbrand was tortured in communist prisons for 14 years in Romania for being a Christian pastor. And the torture was brutal. And he found freedom in the prisons. He gave himself a thought that really helped him. And as he says in his book, not all of these thoughts are completely doctrinal, but they were helpful in prison. His thoughts, even when he thought they weren't doctrinal, they always reflected doctrinal elements. And so he said to himself, now this is during very severe torture. This is not just a bad day. This was torture, extreme torture. He said to himself, if you will what you must, then you must only what you will. And in this he found freedom. Here's the thing, and this is what people whose freedom is wrongly taken away, what we think of as freedom, which is really outward freedom, freedom of motion, freedom of expression, and so on. Freedom is not on the outward. Freedom is only on the inward. There's many people in free countries who are not free. And they are in bondage. They're in chains. Sometimes they're in bondage to things like fear. Sometimes they're in bondage to other things, maybe religious concepts that can bring tremendous bondage to people. Imagine living your life thinking that you have to have this performance or God will send you into hell, which a lot of people think out there. That's tremendous bondage. Or you have situations where people are in bondage to other people. All kinds of different things where people lose their freedom. No, freedom is always on the inside. Now, I'm not saying there's not value in a free society or stuff like that. Of course there is. But you can still not have freedom even if the government allows for a free society. No, freedom is on the inside. This is why the Word of God says in John 8:32, the truth makes you free. John 17:17 says, the Word of God is the truth. The truth makes you free. How do I escape the various types of bondage? I escape through the Word of God. Learning how to think. Our old sin nature, our flesh, is the biggest eliminator, biggest source of bondage, eliminator of freedom that exists. If you want to be enslaved, truly enslaved, get into your old sin nature. And then you will learn what real slavery is. Even in the days of slavery in this country, and I'm not defending slavery, it's absolutely horrifying, don't get me wrong here. But even in the days of slavery, there were certain slaves who found freedom, not in their outward condition, but in the Word of God. In the relationship that they had with Christ. And there, despite their outward condition, they became free. These people were pretty remarkable. Look at Harriet Tubman, for example. Harriet Tubman was a slave who escaped slavery. And then she started what was called the Underground Railroad, where she would help other slaves escape southern states and get into the north. And the north, of course, did not have slavery, only the south had slavery. But Harriet Tubman, although she was in tremendously dangerous places, had she been captured, she would have been immediately killed. But she found tremendous freedom. She was a wonderful Christian. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helped her to get these people out of slavery and into places where they could be free. She would be led by God, even in the path to take, in order to avoid the authorities from the south who would have killed her. And so she found real freedom. And she did it for years. It's not like she helped two or three people escape. No, she helped hundreds of people escape. She did it for years. She found freedom. Freedom is never in your condition. Your condition can complement your freedom. But freedom is never in your condition. Freedom is in your mind. It starts with your thinking. And when the thinking gets right with God, then freedom comes in, regardless of your condition. He says this in his book, right? And I saw him speak one time, and you could see that this was absolutely true. Richard Warmbrand found freedom in prison. And he was not rightfully prisoned. He was not a criminal. He was a pastor, and that's why the communists threw him in jail, because he was a pastor, like they did with so many pastors. But he said also, in jail, he had his most fruitful church. You get all these people who are in very humbling circumstances, and they're very open to the Word of God. Now, I wouldn't wish what happened to him on anybody. That's a terrible thing to have happen. But at the same time, he found freedom despite the difficult situation he was in. He found complete freedom. And anyway, remember, guys, freedom is not in anything outside of the Word of God. The practical expression of freedom is that you lose fear. That's it right there. If you're free, you lose fear. Because fear is the only thing that keeps us in bondage. Look at people who live in these systems, like Warmbrand lived. He was not afraid of the government. Now, the government tried, and to some extent succeeded, to doing some great damage to him. But he was still free. Right, he still preached. He never stopped. He just preached wherever he was. And he found his freedom there. Now, I'm not saying that was easy. Sometimes we think freedom means ease. No, it wasn't easy. It was extremely hard. But yet at the same time, he still was free.